Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMani.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Trevor Cameron is a Toronto-based writer who has always wanted to make a film about his ancestors, and one in particular. Gabriel Dumont, the famous Métis leader who fought in the Battle of Batoche in the Northwest Rebellion. But he didn't know that much about him. Where did he come from? Where did he go after the rebellion? What did he do in his life? And what ultimately became of him? To answer these questions, he got into a camper van headed out west to follow in Dumont's footsteps more than a century later. And he documented his journey on film. The result? A lighthearted, totally enjoyable road movie about one man discovering his past called Shadow of Dumont. Shadow of Dumont was written and directed and starring Trevor Cameron, the award-winning screenwriter and director known for his work on TV shows like The Great Wappos Bay and Guardians Evolution. The film premiered this week at Imaginative Film and Media Arts Festival, and it's streaming through the weekend. I'm very pleased to have Trevor here with me via Zoom to tell us more about Shadow of Dumont. Hi, Trevor. Thanks so much for calling or Zooming, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, as you say in your film, among Indigenous groups, Métis are the least well-known. So could you start by talking about who the Métis are?
Even just asking that is a difficult question to answer because you'll get a different answer from depending on which Métis you talk to. I can talk about myself, and I can say, my family, the Dumonts and the Archons, are from the Métis that were around the Red River and took Scripland and were, in the ancient history, part of the buffalo hunt, and were intermarried and, moved west into Saskatchewan. That is what most people think of when they say Métis, but there's this whole overarching argument, debate about what constitutes Métis or Michif or half-breed or, there's just so many different ways to color it. And it's a hard one. So that's why I always try to do the old fuzzy logic and go, well, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for me. And for me, it's about the Red River.
And part of that group of Métis is, of course, Gabriel Dumont. So who was he briefly? What was he known for?
Well, he was known mostly in Canadian history. You'd probably get him in grade 9 or 10, maybe grade 8. And he would be the week before you talk about the last spike railroad, 1885. It's usually the week before. That's where you talk about the Métis uprising in school. But Gabriel Dumont had this really actually interesting life that really took him out of where people think, because when people think of Gabriel Dumont, they think of Saskatchewan. But, he did time. Well, he did spent a lot of time as a child in Fort Pitt, where, Alberta would become, and into the Dakotas and Montana and New York. He really lived like four lifetimes all around the Great Plains, all around North America, really.
And you follow these steps, among other places. You go to Winnipeg and you go to Saskatchewan. You go south to Dakota, to Cody. Is it Wyoming?
Yeah, that's Wyoming.
And seemingly all over the place.
That was, the part of the original research I was doing was, hunkered down in front of a computer looking at archives or old books, highlighting all these places. And I realized that if I was going to do a documentary about Gabriel Dumont, I'm not smart enough or dry enough to just recite known history. I need to kind of get my hands dirty. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to get in the camper van, and drive to all these places that are in the research and look to see if there's any legacy left and look to see if I can scare up any other stories or, you know, any other bits of legacy or where his stuff ended up.
And part of it seemed to be sort of not living his life, but to experience what he experienced by doing the things he did and going the places he went. One interesting thing was, well, let's start with the beard. Did you grow that for the movie? You have you're sporting this mighty beard that looks sort of like Gabriel Dumas. Was that how you always wore it? Or
yeah, that's my normal. That's not a stunt beard. That's my my normal beard. I actually have been growing that out, for a couple of years, mostly due to playing roller derby. You know, it's just something you do when you play roller derby. As a dude, usually end up with a beard.
Okay, because you were once a stand-up comic, right? Or a comedian.
Yeah, oh man, I've had so many hats. You know, if you want to go like into the deep cuts, like I was a mascot in Vancouver.
A mascot?
I was a Johnny Cat cat litter cat once. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, like when you like to entertain, you find all of these strange outlets. But, you know, like professionally, I was doing improv, transitioned to stand-up comedy because, well, it's easier to do stand-up comedy because sometimes your other improvisers don't show up.
So I was just saying that online, the photos of you online are mainly clean-shaven. That's why I was wondering about the beard. So another thing that Dumont did, he was famous for his horsemanship and shooting. So one of the things you did was ride a horse. Could you talk about that?
Oh, I'm terrible at riding a horse. It was an interesting time. Just because I've never grew up around horses. My grandparents moved away from Saskatchewan and moved to the West Coast. And, you know, there's just no room for horses where I grew up. And but I knew that was part of our history. And, you know, in this documentary, it was all about I would ask myself a question like, should I do this? You know, something legacy-based or history-based with Gabriel Dumont. And my answer was always, well, if I'm not willing to do it, who will do it? If I'm not willing to go to these places, who will? I'm doing a documentary on Gabriel Dumont. If I'm not willing to, you know, put myself into some, uncomfortable situations, then, you know, who would? So, yeah, horseback riding for me was not something I like doing, but one of our researchers helped out at a ranch, so she gave me a free riding lesson, and the horse just did not cooperate with me at all.
So in another aspect, you did a lot better. You went south of the border to a town where they like firearms a lot, and
many towns like firearms way too much.
Yes, but in this particular one, you managed to find the actual gun or the variety of gun, the type of gun that Gabriel Dumont used. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, in history, in a lot of the old words, there's always talk about Gabriel Dumont and Le Petit, which was his rifle that he used for the uprising. But when you do a deeper dive into the history, you realize that he named all of his rifles Le Petit. And so there's several different versions of Le Petit. And, there was a Winchester, like a 44-40 buffalo hunting type rifle at a little gun shop in Cody, Wyoming. And I was as excited because they also had a replica of the Gatling gun.
Yes, I saw that. Was scary.
It's firing a bullet that's the equivalent size of a 50 caliber shell. So it's a big chunk of lead that's being spat out. And I really wanted to use it because, as you may or may not know, I'm sure you, because you watched the show, the Gatling gun was actually used in the uprising by the Canadian forces against the Métis. And I really wanted to see all of the different versions of the rifles I could find. And, you know, just to kind of, you know, when people talk about something like a Gatling gun, they think, oh, you know, you think you know what it is, but then when you're firing it, you're like, oh my, this is terrifying.
It really is. It's like the first machine gun in a way.
Yeah, yeah. It fires in one complete crank. It fires two shells, two projectiles. So, you know, if you load it up with 20, as fast as you can pull the, you know, turn the crank, it shoots shells down the way. You know, because in the history and the research, there's, you know, all this talk about bravery in front of this Gatling gun, you know, like not being afraid because you can see the line that the bullets are chewing up on the ground, so you'd be able to run away from it. And I was just like, nope.
You definitely don't want to be on that side of it.
Yeah, you don't want to be on that side. It was like, this would like be absolutely terrifying to be standing on the other side of.
In the news this week, there's a lot of stories about Sir John A. Macdonald, the first Canadian prime minister, who people are knocking down statues and denaming school names, things like that. He was also, he fought two wars against the Métis, Red River Rebellion and the, did he also do the Northwest Rebellion or?
Yep, that's him.
Right. So how do you think Gabriel Dumont would feel now about the statues being knocked down and things like that?
Well, I mean,
if he were around today.
Sure. I don't want to speak for him.
Right.
I'm sure that he'd be more than happy to see them knocked down. You know, because there was a lot of, it wasn't just the uprising. It was the effects after the uprising, where you have a generation living on the road allowance and not being able to, farm anymore and being dispossessed of, you know, not just possessions, but land and, ruining communities worth of people for generations. But there is that other side of the, I don't want to say other side of the argument, but I'm going to use that just because I can, because I'm, you know, sitting at home. But when I was speaking with Nicholas Vrooman in Helena, Montana, we were talking about this idea of, you know, sometimes people want to knock things down, not because they want to right wrongs, but they want to forget that they did it. And there's something to be said about letting, you know, not letting us forget, you know, putting things into perspective.
Certainly. And on the opposite side, on the other hand, how has Gabriel Dumont fared in terms of memorials and statues and recognition today?
Well, I mean, it was kind of neat because, you know, I think a lot of people in Canada don't realize just how much time he spent in the U.S. And, you know, even today you'll see him, we went to a place in North Dakota and they had a big building that they had changed to, you know, like it was a telephone exchange building that had to be built on the res, and they rebuilt it as a teepee to make it a little more culturally relevant. You know, you could take whatever you want with that, but they did that in the, you know, 80s, and they put their founding chief on one side and the other side is Gabriel Dumont. You know,
definitely.
And it's one of those things that you don't realize that he made that cultural, you know, mark in the South, and that was what made it so interesting going to these archives and saying, you know, and finding, say, Gabriel Dumont's snowshoes and, you know, and his jacket, and realizing that, you know, it's not just, you know, rando. They looked for something from Gabriel Dumont and put it in their archives, you know, and, you know, keeping in mind that in the U.S., they don't officially recognize the Métis or the Michif people in the States. So it has like this whole other layer. And, You know, because when you go into Saskatchewan, you have the Gabriel Dumont Institute. You have, you know, a park named after him. You have a statue at the foot of the bridge. So, you know, he's been given, you know, honors and a legacy in Saskatchewan and in the States. So that was fun.
And your film sort of pulls it all together so people can really learn about the Métis in the person of Gabriel Dumont.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, absolutely, no problem.
Trevor Cameron's new documentary, Shadow of Dumont, is playing now at Imaginative. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.